You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Build an ark. That's what people often say when they get caught in a torrential rainstorm. And when we think of an ark and rains and floods, we also think about a man in the Bible whose name was Noah. Noah was a man of great courage and conviction. He was a man of God, but Noah, like all of us, was also human. And we know from the Bible that Noah was a sinner. Embarrassing and shameful. This is how one might describe one sad event in Noah's life. This event is recorded in the Word of God, in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 9. God had saved Noah and his family from the devastating flood. And after the flood, Noah planted a vineyard, and he cultivated grapes. From these grapes, Noah made wine, and then Noah drank the wine. And one day, Noah drank too much wine, and Noah became drunk. And in his drunken stupor, Noah did not know what he was doing, and so the Bible tells us that Noah laid naked in his tent. One of Noah's sons, named Ham, saw his father's nakedness and his shame, but instead of doing what he should have done by covering his father's shame, this son, instead, went out and told his brothers. These brothers, Shem and Japheth, reacted differently. They immediately had mercy on their father in his weakness, and the Bible tells us that these two sons took a garment, a piece of cloth, and they placed it on their shoulders, and then they walked backwards and covered the nakedness and shame of their father. Yes, they walked backwards so they would not look upon their father's shame. Then the Bible tells us that when Noah awoke from his drunken stupor, he knew what his son Ham had done. Noah then cursed the descendants of his son Ham and said, "A servant of servants, he shall be to his brothers." Oh, the disrespect that Ham showed toward his father is very, very sad indeed. But if we are willing to look around us today, we will quickly see that very little has changed over the centuries. And if anything, the attitude that some children today have toward their parents is even very much worse. A major news story in the Los Angeles Times recently described a wealthy family where two children murdered their own parents while they were sleeping. They did this terrible deed, hoping to inherit their parents' multi-million dollar estate. Now this, of course, is very unusual and a terribly tragic example of what some children have done to their parents. But what we are concerned about today is not the unusual, nor the sensational. Rather, we are concerned about those events which occur every day. That is, the widespread and often subtle disrespect children show toward their parents. And sad to say, the disrespect some children exhibit toward their parents, their fathers, and others in authority is becoming increasingly socially acceptable. For example, when mothers or fathers ask their children to run an errand or to help around the house, instead of God-fearing obedience, these parents often receive only sinful defiance and devilish mockery. Obviously, such shenanigans also took place 40 and 50 years ago, but at least in those days, crass disrespect for parents was not considered acceptable behavior, as is often the case today. Social researchers tell us that children learn many attitudes of disrespect for parents and others in authority from watching television. Television scriptwriters, in order to make their movies and sitcoms more sensational, are willing to dip into the gutter for subject matter. And they often depict children who badmouth, criticize, make fun of, and openly defy their parents. And then, in order to make all this godless tripe sound good, they insert sounds of canned laughter in the background. And this is done to get the audience to go along with it all and to agree to accept this type of ungodly behavior. Now, of course, television producers may promote this type of disrespect for authority, but God is on record as being totally against this activity. For our day-to-day living, God has provided us with guidelines of how He wants us to live. In the Ten Commandments, God says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God has given you." 500 years ago, the great reformer Martin Luther explained this commandment when he said, "We should fear and love God, that we may not despise our parents and masters, nor provoke them to anger, but give them honor, serve and obey them, and hold them in love and esteem." Parental disrespect is not only a sin of children and teenagers. Mature adults in their 30s and their 40s, their 60s, and even in their 70s also often exhibit sinful disrespect for their own parents. If you are 45 or 55 or 65, and your parents are still living, perhaps in a rest home, they are still your parents, and God expects you to honor them and to love them and to help them in whatever way that you can. Your parents are your parents are your parents, no matter how old they or you may become. Respecting our parents and others in authority is not always easy. This type of love, honor, and respect certainly does not come naturally. In a world that promotes putting oneself first, it is a humbling and perhaps even a humiliating experience to serve and respect our elders. In fact, I think we would all agree, wouldn't we, that each of us has sinned against our parents and against the fourth commandment and against God in one way or another. And so the challenge facing us now is this: where do we go from here? What do you do? And what do I do so that our parents might be served and honored, and that all who are in positions of authority might be respected? And then, as a result, God will be honored and praised. Since we are thinking of parents today, and especially fathers, we need to be reminded that fathers of families are not just members of some type of indiscriminate organized social group. Fathers are not to be seen merely as those who buy the family car, or those who serve as the primary provider in the home, or those whose job it is to change the oil in the car. God has Himself established the family, and He has placed the father at the head of the home. The father is God's primary representative in the family. And this was done so that there is order and respect in the family. This is also done so that parameters can be established which will permit the family to live in greater security, true Christ-centered forgiveness, real joy, and daily happiness. And this is why God has established the father as the head of the home. And so when we disrespect our fathers, we are also sinning against God. This is then where it all starts. What you and I need to do is to ask God for forgiveness for all of our sins. No matter whether we are children or teenagers or mature adults, we need to sincerely confess our faults and failures. And how might we do this? Let me suggest that we take our Bibles and read Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, King David says, "Be gracious unto me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions, and wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." You see here, David is giving no excuses, and he gets right to the heart of the matter when he admits that he did not merely violate one of the puritanical social standards of his day. No, David put everything into perspective when he confessed, "Against thee, O Lord, against thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. Therefore, O God, thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge." David is certainly pouring out his heart in sincere repentance, wouldn't you agree? He continues by saying, "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, O God, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now let's look again at what King David was saying. In his sincere repentance, King David cried out to God for help, and he said, "Wash me." Yes, David said, "Wash me." And when we think of washing, we think of cleansing. Cleansing from all of our filthy sins. The Bible speaks about this cleansing, and it is accomplished by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John emphasizes this fundamental teaching in the Bible when he writes, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sin." And so, when you and I are assured that our troubled hearts and our guilty consciences have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, then we can start over, and we no longer need to be an easy target of the devil, as he encourages us to disrespect parents and others in authority. And so, for you, today can be a new start, and tomorrow can be a new day, living with a renewed and God-centered attitude toward your parents, and especially your father. You can begin to enjoy all the blessings of a Christ-centered relationship. No longer do you need to be dragged down and discouraged by life and by those sins which always result when parents and others in authority are neither respected nor honored. Say no, then, to the ways of the world and turn off all those television programs that encourage and promote disrespect for parents and others in authority, and then begin living the new life of hope and joy in Jesus Christ. In this new life centered in Christ your Savior, you will experience more love, increasing harmony, and less conflict. And each visit with your parents will become more joy-filled. Oh, I know that some of you may think that I am today making a mountain out of a molehill by focusing in on the disrespect, not only for parents and fathers, but also for all those who are in authority. But if you feel this way, then I would simply suggest that you check with people who are acquainted with the field of education, especially teachers. You see, already a decade ago, the National Institute for Education spent $2.4 million studying the disorder and the violence in American public schools. And when it released its report, the public was shocked. You see, the report stated that over 100,000 teachers are subjected to physical violence every month. That's not every year, that's every month. And out of the 100,000 who are physically assaulted, at least 1,000 require hospitalization. This is incredible. Teachers, individuals who have chosen one of the most noble vocations in life, people who give their lives to help others, they are openly attacked. Now, of course, explanations for this type of savage and jungle-like behavior are many. But no matter what the analysis, it all leads to one thing. There is an increasing breakdown in our society in respect for parents and teachers and for all those in authority. And so then, the only answer is for us to return to God and to His forgiveness and to His strength for a new start in the proper direction. And when you and I return to our Heavenly Father, God will enable us to appreciate the order which He has established in His creation, beginning with the structure of the family and focusing on the role of the father in the home. Respect for fathers and mothers and other family members is the fastest way to experience once again the true joy that God promises to all Christ-centered homes. Restoration of and respect for elders and all those who are in authority is the first step in restoring our nation towards what God would have it to be. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me that God would begin with us, with you and me. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, Almighty and Everlasting God, as we come to you, we are reminded of our sin. Lead us therefore then to a confession like that made by your servant David when he acknowledged his own sin. And when we remember the disrespect that we ourselves have often shown toward our parents, our elders, our teachers, and others in authority, we shamefully confess, against Thee, O Lord, against Thee alone have we sinned. But we pray, do not cast us away from Thy presence, O Lord. Instead, create a new heart within us. Plant within our souls a new attitude toward our parents, our fathers, and all those who are in authority. And then, O Lord, through the blessed assurance that our sins have been washed clean, and the blood of Thy crucified and resurrected Son, Jesus, restore us unto the joy of Thy salvation. This is our prayer, O Lord. Please hear us and make us new people, a new family. Yes, a God-fearing family that respects parents and teachers and all those who are in authority. For when we do this, O God, then we glorify Thee. O Lord, this is our prayer. Please hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.